God's a good God. A lot of people don't understand the Christian hope. You see, our hope is a full assurance and complete confidence in something we've simply just not seen yet. But it's real. We know it's real. We have a complete, absolute confidence. We have an absolute, complete assurance. We've just not seen it yet, but we know it. The one of these days, our faith will end in sight. We shall see Him as He is. Every eye shall see Him. Even those that pierced Him, they're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, if you don't have salvation, you have nothing. But if you have salvation, you have everything. Listen, I want to speak to you just briefly this morning from a few verses of Scripture taken from the 6th chapter of Joshua. Joshua is one of the great leaders of the Old Testament. Actually, the word Joshua is the same Hebrew word for the Greek word Jesus. I don't know if you ever noticed or not, but in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, the King James uses the Greek word Jesus where it should be Joshua. Joshua was a type and a shadow of the victory that we would receive through Jesus Christ. I believe that the church needs to be militant and doing great exploits for the Lord. I believe we need to be soldiers of the cross, and we ought to be good ones. Good soldiers of the cross, and we ought to fight the battles that are before us. Joshua was a picture in the Old Testament of the victories that Jesus would bring to us in the New Testament. Jesus Christ, He is our heavenly Joshua. And in the 6th chapter, I want to read a few of these verses, and I want to entitle the message, "When Your Wall Falls Flat." The wall is a partition or a barrier that typically keeps us from having victory in Jesus. We sang the song this morning about a victory that we've experienced and known about it. And in all of those victories, the devil always puts up a wall. A barrier, a sin, a vice, a transgression, guilt. Could be a number of things that keep us from our victory. But every one of us have a Jericho. And in this passage of Scripture, we read about Jericho. I've been singing a song my parents sang 40 years ago where, yes, the wall, mighty wall, yeah, the wall, da-da-da, came crumbling down. I've been singing that all week because I needed to preach this message about the walls of Jericho falling flat. The reason those walls came down wasn't because Joshua was a great commander. It wasn't because Israel was a great army. The only reason those walls came down were because of faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, it says that because of faith, the walls of Jericho fell flat. They came down. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:11, all of these Old Testament stories, all of the things that happened in the Old Testament, they are for an example to us. They are to teach us something. And I pray that your faith is encouraged this morning, because when you're faced with those walls of Jericho, and the walls were huge. I mean, they were great. I've been to Jericho, literally. The excavation that went on there, the archaeologists dug up Jericho. I've been to Jericho. I mean, it was a real city. This is a historical fact that these walls fell flat. I've been there. I dug in the dirt there. I saw some of the things that they recovered there at Jericho. And I can assure you that what I'm reading to you this morning is a historical proven fact. God brought down the walls of Jericho. God did. And this city. And a lot of people don't understand that the exploits of Canaan, Israel going to Canaan and conquering all of those Hittites and those Amorites and those Canaanites and Jebusites and all those termites, all those ites of the Canaan. He went in and he conquered them because the Bible says their sin became full. Israel was executing judgment for God. Jericho was not only a city of great antiquity, it was a city of great iniquity. There were all kinds of horrible, terrible sins that were being committed in Jericho. Things that were an abomination in the sight of God. And judgment had come. God had had enough. He was up to here, as it says in Genesis. Their sin was full, and he was going to execute judgment upon them. The Israelites had crossed over the Jordan. Here they are. And there's one thing between them and their Canaan. You know what it was? It was the walls of Jericho. One obstacle, one city, one obstruction between them and their promise. The promised land was available, but there was one thing between them and the promises of God, and it was the city walls of Jericho. They say that on these walls, they were so high and so thick that you could ride chariots across them. Here's Joshua. Go up to the fifth chapter, just the last couple of verses. If we're ever going to do great exploits, if we're ever going to win the victory, we must realize this is not God's first. Everybody's thinking rodeo. It's not God's first Jericho. And the victories that he accomplished for others, he can accomplish for you. He can bring down the walls of your Jericho. Praise God. All right. let's start and let's look at a few of these verses. And I'm going to say this. The thing that brought these walls down, don't forget what the Hebrew writer said, it was faith. And nothing less will do for you. In order for you to win the victory, you must exercise faith. 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 Victory is not achieved by fighting in the Lord's army. It is received by faith. Victory, listen to me. Victory is received by faith. It is not achieved by fighting. God taught them a great lesson. I want to back up just for a minute. Look at verse 13 of the fifth chapter of Joshua. Here Joshua is out there and he's surveying the walls. He's just looking at them. He's doing some reconnaissance. He's doing that. He's out there just, looking at these walls, and I'm sure he's thinking this is going to be an impossibility. I'm sure that as he was looking at this, he was thinking, look at these walls, how massive they are. How are we ever going to achieve, how are we ever going to receive the promised land? These walls are between us and the promises of God. But something happens. He's out there looking and assessing, and suddenly he senses a presence. And he whirls around, and there's this guy standing there with a sword drawn. See that? A guy standing there with a sword drawn. See, I told you this, that they were doing was the execution of God's holy, righteous judgment upon that civilization. Here's a man with a sword drawn. Now, I want you to look closely at this verse. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. Okay, he senses a presence. He whirls around, and there's this man with a sword drawn. And it says he had a sword in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and he said unto you, art thou with us? Or for our adversaries. He goes up to him and says, are you a friend or are you a foe? Sure, as he says a foe, he starts to grab his own sword. Are you with us, the people of God, the Israelites? Or are you with the Canaanites? Whose side are you on? Now, I love this. I believe this verse sets the stage for what Joshua says in Joshua 24 when he stood before the people of Israel and he said, choose either that side or the Lord's side. The angel, or actually, I believe this is a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ. I believe this is what we call a Christophorcy. I believe it's a pre-presentation of Jesus Christ. You can disagree with me if you like, but listen, Jesus was before he was born. He shows up on this occasion, and Joshua asks him, are you on our side or are you on their side? And you know what he says? He says, look what it says in verse 14. No, I'm not on either side. I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. Remember what Joshua said in Joshua 24? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. My home, my life, I'm not on my side or your side. I'm on the Lord's side. Listen, the Lord showed up here as the captain of the host. Look what it says in verse 16, verse 15. He says, I am the captain of the, verse 14 rather. Nay, no, I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. See, the Lord didn't show up to choose sides. He showed up to take over. Are you with me? When the Lord shows up, it's not your side or my side, it's his side. And he shows up to take over, and he says, I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. Now, you can study the New Testament, and one of the statements is made by the Hebrew writer. I believe it's in the second chapter of Hebrews, where it talks about the Lord being the captain of the Lord Jesus Christ, being the captain of our salvation, who created all things and was before all things, that he might be a perfect, excellent, superior captain of our salvation through suffering. I believe Jesus Christ is the captain of salvation. Isaiah prophesied in the 55th chapter of Isaiah that the Lord would give a witness and a leader and a commander for the people. And that leader and that witness and that commander is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's captain of the Lord of hosts. Yeah. You know this captain, the Lord of hosts. We read in the 19th chapter of Revelation where he shows up as the captain and the commander. He is the captain. He leads the armies of heaven. He leads the armies of the Lord of hosts. He leads the great valiant seraphims and cherubims and angels of the Lord. He is the captain and the commander of the Lord of hosts. Praise God. He's not just a captain. He is a great captain. Anyway, he says, I'm the Lord. I'm the captain of the Lord. See that verse 14? Nay, I'm not on your side or their side. I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. And I've shown up here. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship. And he said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? You know what? If you would surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'd fall on your face before him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you would repent of your sins and trust Him and submit to Him and surrender to Him, He'll make a great soldier out of you. Yeah, He'll make a great man of God out of you, or woman of God out of you. He can take your life and He can shape it and mold it. He can use you according to His divine purpose, according to His sovereign will. He can come into your life and He can help you and aid you and empower you and anoint you and give you holy unction to do great things for His name's sake. You know, this Christian walk is a walk of servitude. I mean, we're just laid out, surrender to the Lord. Anyway, that's what Joshua does. Just worships, says, okay, what do you want me to do? So we have the commander of our faith. I believe that commander of our faith is Jesus Christ. The commander of my faith, the captain of my faith is Jesus Christ. I am not embarrassed to tell you this morning, I'm following Jesus. I'm following Him. He called me out many years ago, and I left my nets, and I'm still following Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow Him to the day I die. He is the captain, and I'm following His lead, and I submit to His leadership, and I submit to His direction. I'm following Him. I'm following Jesus. Oh, and I want to say this to you young folks. Listen to me, children. There is no greater life to live than a life lived following the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, most of us know this story. It's about like Zacchaeus. It's one that's told in Sunday school class. But next I want you to listen to the compliance of Joshua. And notice verse 15. He's worshiping and he recognizes this is the captain of the Lord of the host. Notice the capital L-O-R-D. Those of you that have sat under my preaching, you know that's the captain of Yahweh's host. What is he said unto Joshua, you need to take off your shoes, brother. You're standing on holy ground. Listen, every time God shows up, it's holy ground. And so that's another reason I believe this is Jesus Christ. It's just like what Moses experienced on Mount Sinai. Man, when he got up there, God's glory, God's Shekinah glory was there. He was in the presence of God and he had to take off his shoes because God was there. He was on holy ground. Listen, Joshua was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, the captain of the universe, the captain of heavens. I believe he rules not only heaven, but he also rules earth. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Anyway, he tells him, take off his shoes. He's on holy ground. And Joshua did so. Okay, listen, folks. Faith, I'm going to say this again. I said it last week. I got to say it again. People misunderstand what faith is. Faith is not a leap into the dark. It's a step into the light. Now, too many times, we gaze at our problem rather than glancing at our problem. And what Joshua ends up doing, he's out there gazing at the problem, the walls of Jericho, but suddenly he's no longer gazing, but he's glancing. Listen, if we will turn our eyes from the world and turn our eyes toward Jesus, things will change. Yeah. If we will look to the author and the finisher of our faith, if we will turn our eyes from our problem and turn our eyes on the problem solver, our problems will be solved. The impossible is possible with Christ. All we need to do, listen, we don't bring the walls down. We just comply with the commands. And that's what Joshua does. He complies with the commands. There must be some degree of compliance of our faith. And so he gives them this military strategy. Now, it doesn't sound much like a military strategy. I'm going to read it to you. He tells Joshua, he says, this is what I want you to do. I've given you the city. It's yours. It's yours. Okay? It says that in verse 2 of chapter 6. Now, then he tells them what to do. He says, you go around, you can pass the city. All ye men of war, you go around about it. And he says, thus shall you do for 6 days, and on the and 7 priests shall bear before the ark the 7 trumpets of rams of horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat. Man, this doesn't sound much like a military strategy, does it? To just walk around, and he told them to do it in silence. He told them to just go around this city 7 times, and on the 7th day, compass it 7 times, blow the ram's horn, and shout, and the wall will come down. You know, you would think they would maybe go out here and they'd build some ladders to get over this wall, or a catapult or something. I mean, that would be a military strategy that the world would compose, but we're talking about faith, and we're talking about God bringing down your walls. It's obvious that there are things in your life that you can't on your own bring down. You need God to make the walls fall. And faith is the key. Faith is the answer. This morning, listen to me. And you might think, well, this is ridiculous. Are you telling me I've got all these walls and these obstacles, these things, these huge things? Listen, we all have our Jerichos. All of us. Are you telling me, preacher, if I come to the altar this morning and I put my faith in Jesus Christ, that wall out there that I've been trying to bring down for years and years and years on my own, and I just simply cannot make it fall? Are you telling me, preacher, that if I come to the altar and put my faith in Jesus Christ, then He'll bring down my walls? Yes. That's exactly what I'm telling you. You might not think it's much of a strategy, but God has been faithful in the past, and He'll be faithful today. Amen. I'm telling you, this is not God's first Jericho. He can bring down your walls. I don't know. I don't know the reason why they had to march around the walls. I got 2 ideas of why they had to do it. First of all, I think one reason they had to do it is to prove their obedience. Prove their obedience to God. You know, there's a lot of folks that they want to read the book and understand the Bible. Look, this is not a book of just simple understanding. It's a book you've got to obey. And a lot of people make a big mistake. They want to understand the book, but they don't want to obey it. Listen, if you want to really understand what God's Word says, you're going to first have to commit to obeying it. Amen. There has to be a commitment to obedience. You might say, well, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I can't leave my whole lifestyle. The wall will come down, but you've got to submit to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You've got to come down out of that sycamore tree. You've got to go home with Christ. And when you go home with Christ, salvation will be in your life. Amen. He'll take care of your life. But you've got to take Christ with you. They had to be obedient. You know, I wonder, the citizens of Jericho, they were heathens.
And they had this huge wall. Do you imagine maybe they were sitting on the edge of the wall and they were mocking and making funny? Do you believe there was any jeering in Jericho? Huh? I mean, they put great confidence in this wall. It was their wall of protection. It was a fortification. It was impregnable. Impossible for anybody to penetrate this wall. Do you think they were sitting on the edge of that wall saying, "What are you folks doing down there? Walking around? What kind of military strategy is this? Hey, what are you doing? Are you playing ring around the rosy?" But you know, they had to go around that wall in silence. Not saying a thing. Just trusted in God. You know, the world sneers and jeers at us, don't they? But I'm telling you, there's coming a day, and I'm getting ahead of myself, when the walls of this world are going to come down. This incident is a prelude. Listen to me. It's a prelude for the last day when the last trump and the last shout is made. The walls of this world come down. You know, we need to just trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Be happy in Jesus. You got to trust and obey. My second thing I believe that God was accomplishing and making them for 7 days walk around these walls is for observation. Observation. Not only obedience, but observation. I think they were walking around these walls and they were saying, "Man, this is impossible. There's just no way that we're going to ever bring down these walls." I mean, you know, they're just observation. There's no way we can do it. And let me say something. Faith really doesn't start working till you stop trusting in yourself and start trusting in a power beyond you. You've got to come to the end of yourself. Where you say, "God, I can't, but you can." I love the way the Lord taught the disciples. I was thinking about this morning. Remember when he called them to feed the 5,000? He told the 12, he said, "Feed this multitude of 5,000. And they said, "We can't." They started scurrying around. They found a boy with a sack lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They come to Jesus. "Man, this is all we've got. Lord, there's no way. Send them back to town. Send them to McDonald's or something. I mean, there's no way out here in this wilderness that the 12 of us," the disciples said, "there's no way. We can't do it. There's no way we can feed this 5,000. This is impossible. There's no way." And he said, "What do you got?" "Man, we've just got a lunch from a little kid that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He'd give it to me. Give it to me." And he blessed it. And you know what happened? That sack lunch fed 5,000. Then immediately following that incident, he says, You fishermen, you guys that are skilled fishermen, skilled traders, I'm going to go up this mountain and pray, and you guys jump in that boat and go across Sea of Galilee, and I'll meet you over here on the other side." And they jump in the boat, "We can do this." And they got out there, and remember, there was a tempest. They were out there for like 3 hours and had gone nowhere. They could not even, the thing they thought they could do, they couldn't do. The thing they thought they couldn't do, they could do. They're out there rowing and rowing and rowing. Remember, here comes Jesus walking on the water. And one gospel writer says that he passed them. And they're like, "Whoa, Jesus, don't leave us out here." And I don't know if you noticed or not, Peter walked on the water. Jesus saved Peter. The Bible says the very moment Jesus put his foot in that boat, they were on the land. Man, you need Jesus in the storms of life. The problem people are having today is they don't have Jesus in their boat. Anyway. So it was for observation. Once they got to the point where they could not do it on their own, then they could trust God to do it for them. And that's where we need to get from time to time. There's a lot of things that we put confidence in and trust in. Sometimes our ability, sometimes our wealth, sometimes our skills. But we need to trust God. Faith is trusting in the Lord. All right, so we have the captain of our salvation and the compliance of their faith. I want to notice this, and I probably could go on down in these verses, verse 13 and 14. Yeah, they went out there. They did as the Lord said. There was not only compliance, but there was the continuance of their faith. Listen, folks. They went around once, nothing happened. They went around twice, nothing happened. Reminds me of Naaman. You remember? He was told to go dip seven times. He was a leper. Dip seven times in the river of Jordan, and he would be made whole. He dipped one time, nothing happened. Two times, nothing happened. Three times, nothing happened. All the way up to six time, nothing happened. You know, there's a lot of folks, they've been in this thing for up to the sixth time, and they're about to quit. If he would have stopped on the sixth dunk, if they would have stopped on the sixth rotation around the city, nothing would have happened. They would have never seen the work of God. Listen, let's never grow weary in well-doing. We will faint. Do not grow weary in well-doing. We will reap if we faint not. There we go. Amen. We will reap if we faint not. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't stop on the sixth time around. I was a preacher here a while back, and he was telling me, he said, we've gone 7 years. We've not seen anybody saved. You know what I told him? I said, just keep marching, brother. Keep going around the wall. Keep dunking in the Jordan. And that seventh time it will come. And yeah, it did. That next year they saw this great harvest of souls like I'd never seen before in all of the church's life, in all of his ministry. And it was on that seventh year that great things happen. When we go through year 1, 2 through 6 and it seems like nothing's happening, we got to stay true to God. I don't know about all the churches out there, but I tell you, this church is following the Lord. There needs to be a continuance of our faith. I don't know if you've noticed this with God, but God doesn't get in a hurry. I'm teaching through Isaiah on Wednesday night. Isaiah 28, if you want to turn and look at this reference, I'll get to it eventually. Verse 16, where it says, you know, that he that believeth shall not... the person who's believing and exercising faith in God, he that believeth will not make haste. You may look in the margin of your Bible, and a lot of them have an asterisk or a letter, and it'll run you a little reference. And the Hebrew word is, doesn't get in a hurry. Oh man, we like to get on our knees and we pray, God, teach me to be patient and make me patient right now. Oh, come on. You prayed like that. We get instant coffee and, you know, drive-through windows. We want it all right now. But God doesn't get in a hurry. It says in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, verse 18, it talks about the Lord, and it just says, you know, the Lord will wait. He'll wait till it's the right time where he can get the most glory for himself. And he's going to do you good, but he's going to get his honor and his own glory. And I've got to move on. All right, so there was more than just a continuance of faith. There was a confession of faith. They did exactly what the Lord of hosts told them to do, the commander of their salvation. They went out there. They marched around that city. And on the seventh time, the horns sounded and they shouted. You know what that shout was? You ever tried to figure out what the shout was? It was a confession of faith. They shouted the victory before the victory ever took place. Faith. Faith. When you look back in verse 2, and you look back at all these times that the Lord of hosts talked to Joshua, he didn't say, I will give you the city. He says, I have given you the city. Past tense. It's done, my friend. I don't know how you feel about your salvation, but my salvation's already secure and won. Amen. Really, I'm in battles, and we have challenges, and we have walls, and we have little victories and little battles, but the big battle, the big victory has already been won. I'm working from victory. Victory was secured for me at Calvary's cross. You know, and worst thing could happen to me is I die. That's not a bad thing for me. Be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. I'm going to heaven. I'm already on the winning side. The Lord is the captain of my salvation. Listen, our confession of faith when we go into the waters of baptism, when Zach came up here and professed faith in Jesus Christ, what occurred to him up here on this front seat? He was declaring to the world that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. And He's not only going to save his soul, I did save his soul, but He's going to save his life, amen, both soul and body.
Lord,
that's the conquest of my faith when my faith ends in sight, when I'm in His presence. Listen, He's going to one down bring the walls of this world down. He's going to destroy this world with fire and brimstone. Amen? The elements of this world are going to burn with fervent heat. Praise God, I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm secure in Him. Let the congregation stand just for a moment. Let's sing a verse of song. Listen, no matter how old you are, or how many times the devil has taken advantage of you in your life, no matter how big that wall may seem, the Lord of hosts and the exercise of your faith will bring it down. Amen, Brother Jeff? Do you remember when He brought down your walls? The first time He brought it down? There's other walls that we have. I mean, there are other Jerichos that we come to. And man, we've got to win the war by faith, right?
Amen.
It's not of might, not of our power, but it is of His Spirit, saith the Lord. We can have the victory. The walls can come down. Listen, it didn't come down in your life. But you've got to have faith in the Lord of hosts. Let us sing verses some song. Zach, why don't you come ahead? We're going to go ahead. We're going to shake hands with him. If you're lost, this altar's open. If you need a wall to come down to your life, I pray you sense His presence and you'll swirl around. And the Lord will tell you He's not on your side, He's not on their side, but it's His side. I pray that you'll experience that today, now, in Jesus' name. Anybody here that needs to pray, call the Lord. Bring down the walls of Jericho in your life. Is there somebody here? And it seems impossible. This challenge, it seems insurmountable. Nothingness to His almightiness. Come know the God of heaven that saves and delivers. Would you come to Him today? Is there somebody here that needs to pray? We'll pray with you. Faith for greater mustard seed. Great things can happen. Listen, you'll never get saved. You'll never be delivered unless you do it God's way. You got to be compliant with His Word. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There has to be a compliance with the Word of God. And then you can profess and confess that this gospel, it's the power of God into salvation to everyone that believes.